Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during April. This past winter here in New England, my yard had snow cover continuously since early February, when we had a blizzard that dropped 2 feet of the white stuff. So I've been champing at the bit for a little spring warmth, and at last it's here. For most of us, yes, even here in Boston, April evenings are finally warm enough to linger outdoors comfortably for quite a while. And that's a good thing, because you'll want to stay out for at least 15 to 30 minutes to give your eyes a chance to adapt to the darkness. During most of April, the sun sets between 7:30 and 8, and by 9 p.m., it's good and dark. While your eyes are getting adjusted, let me tell you that right now, amateur sky watchers around the world are celebrating Global Astronomy Month. Organizers have a terrific schedule of activities lined up, some involving outdoor observing, and some for watching over the internet. For information, type Global Astronomy Month into any web search engine. Okay, let's check out the major landmarks, make that sky marks, that you'll see overhead this month. New moon falls on April 10th and full moon on the 25th, so most of the moonless skies, the ones best for stargazing, will come early in the month, but there'll be some sky surprises in late April as well. Look west about 45 minutes after sunset, and you'll see two obvious, widely separated beacons well above the horizon. The brighter one, on the right, is Jupiter. The king of planets is nearing the end of several months dominating the nighttime sky. Not far below Jupiter is Aldebaran, the fiery eye of Taurus the bull. The other beacon is dazzling Sirius, marking the collar of Canis Major, the big dog. Striding midway between Sirius and Jupiter is Orion the hunter, who is studded with bright stars. The three stars of Orion's belt are in a horizontal row. Above them, marking one armpit, is the red supergiant star Betelgeuse. Below the belt, marking Orion's left leg, is a blue-white supergiant called Rigel. You can use Orion to observe the two ways that stars move around in your sky. The first way is due to Earth's 24-hour spin. Find an obvious landmark along the western horizon and note Orion's position with respect to it at, say, 8 o'clock. Then check an hour later, and you'll see that he's obviously lower down. To see the second kind of motion, again note where Orion is at a particular time, and then check again at the same time 2 weeks later. Orion is once again farther down, but this time the cause is Earth's movement around the Sun. Our orbital position has shifted over those 2 weeks, and so did Orion's location in the evening sky. Jupiter is getting ready to say goodbye for the summer, but he'll be replaced by a planet with plenty of sky cred, lovely Saturn. Unless you're in the habit of sky watching before dawn, the ringed wonder has kept a low profile these past several months, but on April 28th, Saturn is at opposition, that is, opposite the Sun in the sky. On that date, when the sun sets in the west, Saturn will be rising in the east and take all night to cross the sky. This time of opposition is also when Earth and Saturn are closest together in space, and so the ringed planet is its shiniest right now. Earlier in April, Saturn rises within an hour or so of sunset and is well up by 10 p.m. Don't confuse Saturn with the star Spica, though some skygazers call it Spica, almost the same brightness, which is to its upper right by about twice the width of your fist at arm's length. As you watch the two of them, Saturn might look a little creamy in color compared to Spica's icy white. Also, while Saturn is about 800 million miles away, which I'll admit is more than my daily commute, Spica is about 2 million times farther. On the night of April 24th, Spica and the Moon will be very close together. The moon is full the next day, which ordinarily creates so much glare that your eye can't pick out nearby stars, but Spica is a sparkler that should hold its own as the moon draws near. An even brighter star, about three fists to Saturn's upper left, is Arcturus, which will rise high overhead for northern sky watchers during early summer months. Now let your gaze drift farther to the upper left, past Arcturus, and look high up. You'll immediately recognize our old friend the Big Dipper, positioned with its bowl at upper left and its handle curving toward lower right. According to old farmer's lore, it's upside down, as if dumping April showers. But wait a sec, how can it be dumping showers if the sky is clear? Anyway, the two stars at the end of the Dipper's bowl are known as the pointer stars, because an imaginary line, down through them, points almost directly at Polaris, the North Star. It's below the pointers by the width of three fists. Polaris marks the handle end of the notoriously dim Little Dipper, which on spring evenings extends to Polaris's right. If you follow the pointers up instead of down, you'll soon run into the star Regulus, the alpha star in the constellation Leo. The Big Dipper isn't a true constellation. It's what astronomers call an asterism, an obvious grouping of stars. But the Big Dipper is part of a constellation, Ursa Major, Latin for the Big Bear. And the Little Dipper is in Ursa Minor, which means, you guessed it, the Little Bear. Now, if you think about it, bears come out of hibernation in spring. And so the Big Bear is now on the prowl high in the northeast. Equally high to its right is Leo, the lion, and its bright star Regulus. Okay, lions don't hibernate, but we're talking mythology here. And slithering up equally high in the southeast is long, winding Hydra, the sea serpent, a completely mythological creature. Hydra's stars are all pretty dim. Well below Regulus is Alphard, which forms the serpent's fiery orange heart. Its head is farther right, over in the southwest, and its long tail has yet to clear the southeastern horizon. Hydra was quite carnivorous in Homer's Odyssey, and you can think of it as a hibernator if you want. In any case, spring is coming, and all these sky critters are on the march. It's been a few months since I mentioned any meteor showers, but there is one this month called the Lyrids. This one is relatively tame when it peaks on the 22nd, and it'll be even weaker due to strong light from a nearly full moon. If you're up late, past midnight, count on seeing a few of these shooting stars per hour emanating from a point near the Hercules-Lyra border low in the eastern sky. This shower puts on a fairly brief performance, which this year favors North America, especially those of you on the West Coast. For more sky-watching tips, check out skyandtelescope.com. Until we meet here again next month, I wish you clear skies.